Parshas Dvarim, Shabbos Chazon. I want to share with you two diukim and two insights that I heard about this past week in a shir from Shai Cohen from Priority One from Farakwa, and another one that I learned with Lavi Greenspan in Drash Moshe. Diuk number one. In Pasuk Gimel, the Torah sets the stage for Moshe's Musar Shmuz, his words of rebuke to Klal Yisrael, and the Torah tells us, when is this happening? And the Pasuk Gimel tells us that Arba'im Shana, it was in the 40th year, in the 11th month, in the first of the month. And we know that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die on Zayin Adar. And Rashi tells us, why is this important? Why is the date of this, the words of Moshe Rabbeinu important? Moshe Rabbeinu did not rebuke Klal Yisrael until before his death. And how did he know this? How did he know this was a proper practice? He learned this from Yaakov Avinu. He didn't rebuke his children, except right before they were going to die. Omar, Yaakov said, Reuven b'nei, ani omer lecha, v'nimalo l'chachticha, kol ha'shanam halalu, why didn't I rebuke you earlier for the ma'isa that you did? Kedei shelo tanichenu, so you shouldn't leave me. V'telech v'tidbak be'esav ochi, and that you should go and join up with my brother Esav. Now, that's a very strong statement. Why didn't Yaakov Avinu give Reuven rebuke after the story of the Dudaim? Because he thought that if he would give him rebuke, he would leave him and cling to Esav? That is a wondrous, astonishing statement. Right? It's like saying, Reuven, we understand, is a tzaddik. And we understand that how... And Yaakov Avinu, we assume, would give rebuke in a nice way. In an appropriate and proper and not condescending and not biting and insulting and intense way. So Yaakov Avinu was concerned that Reuven HaTzadik is not only going to get turned off, so to speak, from the rebuke of Yaakov Avinu, but he's going to go so far as to cling to Esav. And I think Rashi is telling us a tremendous, tremendous lesson. That when it comes to giving people musar and rebuke and criticizing people and making people feel bad, you have to be extremely, extremely cautious. This goes for Rebbeim, it goes for parents, it goes for siblings, it goes for friends, it goes for coworkers, it goes for bosses, it goes for employers. And I heard this once in a shir, nobody in the world likes to be criticized. Nobody. And you think about the times that we're in, the times of the Ben HaMetzarim, we're in the 9 days, we're approaching Tisha B'Av, we're talking about Sinas Chinam. A person has to be so careful how he talks. Yaakov Avinu was worried that if he gives too much of a musar, which he's masking is appropriate, he gave it to him at the end of his life. If you give him too much musar, he's going to turn him off so much, he's going to alienate him so much, that he's going to go right away, and the result is going to be he's going to go cling to Esav. It's such a very important lesson, but I think it's so true, and it's so relevant, and a person in life has to keep this in mind. When a person says negative things to people, when a person speaks harshly, even if it's justified, the repercussions and the results can be catastrophic. And certainly this is, again, I'm just going to repeat it again, this is most common with parents and children, Rebbeim and teachers, but it really permeates all parts of our life. If a person is going to say something negative to somebody, a person has to be sensitive enough and intelligent enough and thoughtful enough to really, really try to contemplate all the side effects and potential negative results that may come from that. It's better to say, you know, obviously, certainly speaking positively is much better, but try to think if there's a way to say it, if it has to be said, or try to wait for a later date, because a person says a negative thing to somebody, the negative results can be catastrophic. That's number one. Number two, in Pasuk Yudalid, the Torah tells us, "V'tanu osi," and you responded to me, and this is talking about Klal Yisrael needing more judges. "V'atoyru tov hadavar asher dibartu la'asos." It's good. It makes a lot of sense. Now, it sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu is agreeing and basically praising Klal Yisrael for accepting the fact that there are more judges, but Moshe Rabbeinu is not necessarily giving them a positive, a positive feedback upon what, you know, upon accepting more judges. But rather, Rashi explains what's the rebuke over here. Rashi explains that in reality, B'nai Yisrael should have been happy and satisfied having me judge you, and only me. You know why you wanted more judges? You know why you wanted more judges? Because you wanted to be able to bribe. If you weren't happy with this judge, you go to another judge, bribe him. If you can't bribe this judge, go to another one. And therefore, this is a rebuke because they should have been. What's it? Who's it better to hear the judgment from? Who's it better to learn from? Certainly better than from Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? It's a rebuke on the Jews. Why were they satisfied with hearing it, the law, and learning the law from the judges, the Talmidim of Moshe? They should have wanted to learn from Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Now, why is that? Says Rashi. Lo mimcha, we don't want to learn from you. Shenitztarta aleha. That even though you suffered over the Torah, nevertheless, you still wanted other judges. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein points out, what would you say is the maila? What does it mean, shenitztarta aleha? That you, Moshe Rabbeinu, went up to Shemayim for 40 days, you did not eat, and you did not drink for 40 days. That's what the Sifri says. The reason why they should have wanted to learn from Moshe Rabbeinu himself, because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't just learn the Torah straight from Hashem. He wasn't just the smartest and the biggest, most humble person that there was. No. What was his maila? That he suffered over the Torah. He suffered over the Torah. You know why it's the best to learn from Moshe Rabbeinu? Because he suffered over the Torah. You know what that teaches us? That teaches us that when it comes to learning from somebody and trying to emulate somebody's ways, and when it comes to try to also perfect ourselves, there is a certain value about somebody who worked hard over what he accomplished. If a person does a mitzvah, if a person learns, and he was moser nefesh, and he worked hard to get there, it's incomparable to somebody who came easy to. Why should they want to learn from Moshe Rabbeinu? Not because he got the Torah straight from Hashem, because he was mitzvah over it. He worked hard over it. He was pained by it. And I think this is a tremendous message. Oftentimes we say, oh, you know, let's learn from him. He's a big genius. He knows everything. But if he wasn't moser nefesh, if he didn't internalize it, if he didn't work on himself, it's not the kind of person we want to learn from. And I think this is a tremendous lesson for us as well. It's not about Moshe Rabbeinu's godless, as we see from this Rashi, is not the fact that he was the leader and he learned straight from Moshe. It's that he worked hard. You see from here a tremendous yisod. That working hard is the most valuable thing in Hashem's eyes. And obviously it resonates like the Mishnah in Avos, Lufum Tzara Agra. It's all about the effort. It's all about the Amelos Shebo. And I think these two lessons are tremendous lessons we can think about during the 9 days as we go into Shabbos Chozon. And Be'ezus Hashem, Tisha B'Av will be a Yatif. I won't have to worry about it. But number one, to not say biting and negative and insulting things to people. And criticism, obviously, sometimes is warranted, but the repercussions could be catastrophic. And a person has to be very careful with how he speaks, number one. Number two, that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu should have been the one, they should have... The reason why they should have wanted to learn from Moshe Rabbeinu was because Moshe Rabbeinu is godless. Not that he led the Jewish people. Not necessarily that he was the one who spoke to Moshe, received the Torah straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that, he worked hard. There is no substitute to hard work. There's no substitute. And when it comes to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now is the time, we know that we're lacking the Shekhinah, we want to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to improve our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no substitute to working hard. We could be distracted, we could be involved in other things, but we have to work on our learning, work on our davening, work on our Beinu L'Chavero. Whatever we do in our Avodas Hashem, it's got to be, in order to have a kiyum, in order to be sustainable, it's got to be done with hard work. There's no shortcuts when it comes to Avodas Hashem. Have a wonderful Shabbos, and when we see the Gula Shlemim, Hevamenu, Amen, V'Amen, all the best.